In early December, delegates from around the world will sit down to talk climate change at a major UN-sponsored conference in Copenhagen. There will, no doubt, be political wrangling over how to reduce carbon emissions, but away from the politics is the work of climatologists, the people who come up with the models that predict how climate change will unfold. Dennis Wheeler from the University of Sunderland in Britain is one of those climatologists, but he's not only looking at the latest cutting-edge data to map the future of weather. He's reaching back hundreds of years to the logbooks kept by sailors during those early, harrowing naval voyages in the Age of Discovery.
Meteorological journal and sea log of His Majesty's ship, Isabella. Wind direction south, wind force, light airs, temperature 53 degrees, barometric pressure 29.
Dennis Wheeler joins us from the University of Sunderland. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Guy.
Tell me about these logbooks. Where do they come from, and what were they used for?
Well, the vast majority of logbooks we use are the logbooks of ships in the service of the Royal Navy. The Admiralty made it compulsory for all captains, masters and lieutenants, that's to say senior officers on board, to maintain a regular daily logbook of their activities in which they had to describe what was going on board, supplies of food, water taken in, and so on and so forth. But they also were very careful to stipulate that officers had to record the weather.
So they're basically recording temperature and wind speed and barometer pressure and things like that every day?
Well, first of all, from 1680 until about, let's say, 1770, 1780, the first 100 years, we don't have any instruments on board. They were far too valuable and far too complex to put on board something as uncertain as a ship. And for the first 100 years, what we have is useful information on wind force, wind direction, and the general state of the weather. Now, just because it doesn't have numbers doesn't mean it isn't useful for us. In fact, it's extremely useful information. Mm-hmm. But we find that it's very valuably supplemented from about 1780 onwards by the increasing appearance of barometers, that's for measuring air pressure, and thermometers for measuring air and sometimes sea temperatures, which are regularly carried on board by officers of the Royal Navy and by some other ships as well.
And some of these logbooks are from relatively famous journeys, the HMS Beagle, the ship on which Darwin traveled, Captain Cook's boat, the Resolution.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, this particular project that we've just completed is one that is focused specifically on the logbooks of voyages of discovery. You mentioned Darwin already, and he was on board the Beagle for its 3 or 4 year circumnavigation of the globe. And we have Cook as well. These are all skilled scientists, and it's supplemented the normal daily observational routine with much more detailed observations, sometimes taking thermometer readings every hour. And these are amazingly useful for us.
Professor Wheeler, what questions do you hope to answer by looking at this data?
What we need to do is to get a very firm understanding of the degree of natural variation, not only over land, and we understand that fairly clearly now, but we do need to look at the oceans as well. They're so big and they're such an important part of the whole climatic system. And once we've got that clearer picture, what it means is that the people who are engaged in predictions for the future can take their models, the general circulation models, as they're known, the GCMs. These models need to be calibrated, and we can only calibrate them against past conditions. Well, fairly obviously, the more data we have for the past, the more accurate our picture of the past, the better is the calibration on those models. So when we use them to look to the future, we can be just that bit more precise about how temperatures are likely to change over the next 20, 50, or maybe even 100 years.
From these logbooks, are we able to get a sense of how far the polar ice caps have receded and whether there was, you know, more sea ice at the time these journeys were taking place, you know, versus 50 years later or 100 years later or today?
That's right. It's a very good question. The answer is yes, we can. And this is where the non-instrumental data that I mentioned before is so useful, because these ships were careful to record their encounters with icebergs, pack ice and ice that would freeze them up for the winter, because many of them in the Arctic Oceans would be quite prepared to spend a winter up there and engaged usually in a search for the Northwest Passage, the quick route through to the North Pacific Ocean. So we are able to plot very carefully year by year where the ice advanced and how far it retreated. So the summer retreats, the winter advances are dated and they're spatially defined for us. And that's extremely useful data.
Now, the idea is that these logbooks will all be digitized eventually, which will give everybody access to see them. What's it like to handle those old logbooks?
It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, some of the older ones that we use from the less famous voyages, we're aware that when we open those pages, it's probably the first time they've been opened in the 200 years since they were written. Mm-hmm. And that's an absolutely extraordinary and very enriching experience.
Dennis Wheeler is a climate researcher at the University of Sunderland in Britain. Dennis Wheeler, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.